right. Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to see each one of you here today. Father's Day. I know this has been a very busy weekend for us as a church and ministries. And so if you're a part of doing the building the floats and being in the parade, that was great. So appreciate you doing that. We got there was a car show also on Friday night. So the ministries put a canopy tent down there and we talked to a lot of people down there all Friday night. And even after that on Saturday, after the parade, I think it was another event that was going up there with the air balloons, and there were some people over there doing a little fundraiser, also getting the name out. So there's been a lot going on. So I know some people out there are a little tired this morning. So, and then today is Father's Day, so it just kind of didn't stop. But the day will come to a close today, and then you'll put your head down, and next thing you know, you get up in the morning and you start it all over again going to work. But God is good, and it is a blessing to be here. It's a blessing to be in the house of the Lord, whether it's this one or another, as long as Jesus is professed and preached, and it's always a good place to be. But thanks to each one of you that helped this weekend on some project. Some of you did a lot in all three projects, but again, just thank you guys for that. So this morning, I don't talk about Mother's Day a lot on the Mother's Day, and I don't talk about Father's Day a lot, because if I talk about all the good things, I don't want to talk about all the bad things and things like that. That's for you to go out and to talk to your father and do those things, and with your mother. And today, you know, some of your fathers may not be alive today. It's just a remembrance. And others, you may not have the greatest relationship. You just got to work through those things, and life is hard. And so, but if you are a father today, you know, try to be the best father that you can. And just continue to keep working on that. But today, if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in 2 Samuel today. 2 Samuel. I want to bring you up to a place today. I want to talk to you about David this morning. I want to bring us up to where we are. So we have this piece here sometimes when we talk about sin in our life that, you know, we go to the Lord and we talk to him about it. We ask forgiveness, and the Bible does say if we confess it and we're open to the Lord, 1 John 9 tells us that he'll forgive us of all of our sins and forgive us of all of our iniquities. And he does do that. And that is experiencing the power of that verse. But also want to remind you there are consequences to the sins that we commit. There are consequences to the sins that we commit. David had, I got to bring you up to par from where we're going to go. But David is king. He's sitting in his palace. And he has this moment, and he ends up seeing this woman on the other side, on the rooftop, taking a bath. That's how they did things back then. And the long story short is, he has an affair with this woman, and this woman is married to one of his warriors, one of his top soldiers. Well, he ends up finding out that this woman becomes pregnant by him, and then so what he ends up doing is he ends up putting this her husband out on the front line to have him killed in battle. Well, it is not true that we always say God sees everything. Well, God sends a prophet to him, and there's a whole thing, a conversation going on, and basically the prophet says, God saw it, you're in trouble. And there are consequences. One, the sword is never going to depart from your hand. You always, as a king, you will always have a battle. Folks, sometimes I have battles in my life, and I just can't wait for one of them to get over with. And to be told that you are always going to be in a fight. You're also going to, there's going to be some things, you're going to have a hardship that's going to come from within your own family. Wow, that's going to be tough. And by the way, and there's a few others, but by the way, the baby that you have with this woman is not going to make it. And some people would say, man, God is so hard. God is so hard. Folks, God is easy. That actually is mercy. In the Old Testament, in Leviticus, if you had an adulterous affair, you'd be put to death. God chose us to put these other things into play. God was angry. And we see that David went and he fasted for this baby and he prayed to the Lord and the baby does die. And then we look at David down the road a little bit and so we see a problem coming up in his own family, and he has a son who rapes a half-sister, his daughter, and there's this whole mess up in his family. You have family that mess up? He's got to work through that a little bit, and we are hard on him sometimes because we don't see, Scripture doesn't give us a lot of pieces in there about how he was trying to deal with that. It didn't seem like he didn't deal with it very well. And then the brother who comes up and finds out, my other brother raped my sister, and so that guy's taken out. And so it's a whole big hot mess. But our families are sometimes a hot mess. Sometimes, maybe your family is awesome and great. And then you need to wipe the mirror off and wipe all that white coating off and find out that maybe your family really isn't all that great. And then sometimes we come to places where we think, maybe God forgot about that. Maybe I'm not going to get in so much trouble. We're going to come up in 2 Samuel chapter 16. David has a son named Absalom. Absalom is getting pretty boastful. He's feeling like it's time for me to take over. Think I want to be the king now. And so he does some things outside the city gates, and he starts being in more of the political world, lifting himself up. And so he's going now. He's claiming to be the new king in town. I'm the new king in town. You know what he did? He forgot a couple of things. One, he's not the new king in town. Why? Because he's not God's anointed. You see, sometimes we forget what God has done in the past, way back in the past. Let me remind you, what God says in the past, he remembers still today. He anointed David as king. That's it. But his son wanted to take it over, and his son is coming into town to take it all over, and David is going to leave. Let's pick it up in verse 5. When King David got to Bahurim, a man belonging to the family of the house of Saul was just coming out. His name was Shimei, son of Gera, and he was yelling curses as he approached. He threw stones at David and at all the royal servants, the people and the warriors on David's right and left. Shimei said as he cursed, get out, you man of bloodshed, you wicked man. The Lord has paid you back for all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose place you became king. And the Lord has handed the kingdom over to your son Absalom. Look, you are in trouble because you are a man of bloodshed. Now, there might be some truth into that, but there's a whole lot of hogwash in that as well. So this was a man who is related to the old King Saul. King Saul is dead. Him and his sons have died in a battle. This man here is a relative of the King Saul, and he is still, in his heart, he's still wanting the Saul family to rise back up. But what he is doing is he, as David and his men, and not all of them followed David, about 600 or so, followed David. There's thousands left back. Some people, listen, when things begin to shift, so many people want to abandon the ship when they see just a little storm in the horizon. Just a moment. I see it, and I've had pastor peers who talk to me, even in their own churches, waiting for just that one mistake, that one mishap, and then people will begin to attack. But here it is. David has left. He's leaving. And there's a lot on his mind, but a lot of people don't realize what is all on his mind. Now, I want to remind you that he has some top-notch individuals beside him, some very ruthless individuals that would cut a throat in a heartbeat just to protect their king. These are some of the most vicious soldiers in the world at this time. And this Shimei guy is throwing rocks. Now, we all were taught that sticks and stones, right? Sticks and stones, right? Names don't hurt. Sticks and stones. Let me tell you, somebody keeps throwing rocks at you all day long, you're going to get flustered. You're going to get upset. You're going to want to do something about it. But this man, Shimei, continues to curse out, and he yells at David. And what he's saying, he says, you're the one that killed all of Saul's people in the rotten low. God said to do, God put David in charge. Saul is dead. Now David is the one. But here it is. He keeps calling him a wicked man. And I'm going to tell you that comes back to bite him later. But here in this moment, David is being humble and he is leaving the city. His throne, he has left there. And here's where we come to. And I want to remind you, so this is a one-man protest. We see protests all the time on TV. This is a one-man protest. But this man does not stop. Here's what we see in verse 9. Then Abishai, son of Zeruiah, said to the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over and remove his head. This guy just wants to go over and cut his head off because he's tired of hearing it. Now Abishai is a brother of Joab, if you know Joab. And there's a lot of characters kind of we're talking about. But Abishai is this guy who says, you smart off, I'll take you out. He's just one of those hothead guys. You might have one in your family, just a hothead. Take him out. Zip him. Just be done with it. And Abishai is a guy that you would want in a battlefield, though. He is the one, when we talked about a week ago, we talked about those four kings that were attacked, those four giants, not Goliath, but Goliath's family. We talked about those descendants of Goliath. We talked about those four giants. We talked about that one that was going to kill David. It was Abishai who came over and saved David. David is sitting, as David is leaving, Abishai is right there. He is a bodyguard. He is actually captain of the 30 mighty men. He is a very key person. He is the one that when David was standing over King Saul and he had the David had the opportunity to kill Saul, Abishai said, let's do it. David said, you don't touch the anointed. Even though he had that moment there where he could have killed the king, King Saul is anointed, David is anointed, he's not even king, David is young, and Abishai says, let's just kill him right now. And David says, no, you don't touch the anointed. So Abishai is this guy who has been around. He is a guy that all King David had to say is do it, and he'd be on it. And this is what David replied. He's verse 10. Sons of Zeruiah, he's talking to Abishai and Joab there. Do we agree on anything? Come on, do we agree on anything? You see, what they were hearing was only this protester's voice. All they were hearing was throwing rocks, and nobody wants to hit. Nobody wants to be hit with rocks. Because some of you, if someone would throw a rock at you, some of you would walk away. Some of you would be like right up in that person's face and going to try to do something. Yeah, some of you would be like, I'm going to take care of business right now. Somebody pushes me, I'm going to push back. You see, there's always a lot more going on than you think. This is part of David's punishment. This is part of David's punishment for his adulterous affair and taking out that woman's husband by putting him out in a fierce battle so that he would get killed. And he was killed. And God says, this is what's going to happen. One of your own is going to take over. He's going to rebel against you. Let me ask you something. You ever think about the sins that you committed? No, we don't. You know why? You're thinking, it's because I left him at the foot of Jesus. And it's true. If you've left him there, you left him there. But we as Baptists, we as believers, especially Baptists, we get to that place. We don't think there's consequences for the sins that we commit. I could just do a drive-through with Jesus, ask for forgiveness, and be done. But we don't think there's consequences for the sins that we commit. And God is saying, this is the time. It's time to pay. not for your sins, but for the consequences for what you did. So that you won't do it again. It's going to be deep. It's going to cut deep, and it does cut deep. And so David is just taking it. He is taking it. And he says, don't we agree on anything? He curses me this way because the Lord told him, curse David. Therefore, who can say, why do you do that? Then David said to Abishai and all of his servants, he looks at him, and I'm sure his head is down all day, and he looks up at him, and he says, look, my own son, my own flesh and blood. He lets him into his heart for a moment. He lets him into his mind for a moment. Don't you get it? It's not about these rocks. It's about that I just left the throne, and you left with me. And my own son has rebelled against me. Nothing hurts more than when a child does something against you. Who rebels against you. There is a weight with that. There is pain and heart suffering with that. And he feels that. And he says, it's my own flesh and blood. And he intends to take my life. He knows his own son wants to take his life. How much more than this Benjamite? Leave him alone and let him curse me. The Lord has told him to. But that's not the end of this part. He says, perhaps the Lord will see my affliction and restore goodness to me instead of Shimei's curses today. Now, some of them in the crowd heard that, oh, yeah, that's Absalom. He's thinking about his son. Others said, hey, we can't do anything. We can't do anything to the Shimei. King told us not to. But they missed the big part. Is the part where he says, perhaps the Lord, if we allow this to happen, perhaps the Lord will restore the goodness back to me. You see, there's something in Scripture that tells us that David was a man after God's own heart. And I've heard people criticize David for all these things that he's went through. Well, listen, I always say this. We need to be careful how we speak about the patriarchs and the monarchs of the Bible. We only get parts of the story. We don't see all their prayer time. We don't see all the stuff that they've gone. We see the hardships. We see God moving. We see their sins. And we struggle to grasp all of it. So we need to be careful how we speak about the patriarchs. David was an amazing man. Some of the problems that David had, he did not create. Some of the problems that he had, he did not create. Some of those, he did. Just like you and I. Some of our problems we create. Some of our problems we don't create. But then he says, so David and his men proceeded along the road as Shimei was going along the ridge of the hill opposite of him. So as they traveled, Shimei traveled. And it says, as Shimei went, he cursed David and he threw stones at him. And he kicked up the dust. Finally, the king and all the people with him arrived exhausted. So they rested there. And the hits just kept on coming. You think that it would have just been enough to be able to walk out of the throne and out of the castle and out of the city and going out into the desert roads to leave and to find a place to regroup and figure out what is going on, let alone some man throwing stones and protesting, cursing and throwing stones and cursing, and it didn't stop. It was all day long, and it says when they finally came to the end of their place, they were exhausted. Was it they were just exhausted by traveling? No. These men could ride, as you read their adventures, they would ride through the night. They would go through battlefield, battle lines. Three of them rode through a battle line just to get David some water. No, these men can move through whatever it was. What was exhausting was the mental battle. The mental peace was the biggest battle they struggled with. Just like some of you and I, we wrestle through the mentalness of what we're going through, that battlefield that seems to be imaginary, but it's not. And you go through that, and you got words that keep coming back in your head of what someone said and what someone is throwing at you back and forth. And some of it is probably and can be true. And you're processing what is going on with all of this. This is one of David's hard days. Think about thinking about on. That's a long travel. Sitting there on horses and donkeys traveling, you got a lot of time to think. Why did I do that with her? Why was I foolish to do? Why did I? There's a lot of things going on in his mind, thinking about what he did that he shouldn't have done. Then he's floating over here thinking about Tamar, his daughter who was raped, and he's thinking about all these other things that are going on in his life where these men left with him. But I want to remind you, some of his key people didn't go with him. They stayed to stay with the new king. They weren't friends as maybe he thought they were. They weren't good servants as much as he maybe thought they were. They abandoned him. And then he keeps coming back to this, to the main thought. My son is out to kill me. My son is taking over the throne. My son. And then he's thinking, God, what's going on? You see, we get into the battlefield of our mind and we think about all those thoughts. We think about all those thoughts. But the scripture says David was a man after his own heart. How do we know that? Well, one, the Bible tells us, but number two, we see it through scripture. You see, when you want to read about David, you can read about it in 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel. You can read about some things in the Kings, and you can read some things that David does, all these exploits and all these things that he does. But if you want to see his heart, you go to the book of Psalms. And David has a piece here where his whole piece is here that is written about this moment, and it's not like you would think it would be in Psalms 104 or whatever. It's in Psalms 3. Right there in the beginning, it says this. This is what he has this moment, and he says this, Lord, how my foes increase. You see, that's where you pour your heart out. You don't pour your heart out with everybody around you. You can share those things, but you've got to pour your heart out with the Lord. That's when you know you have a relationship with God. It's when you're not just saying, I believe in God, but when you pour out your heart to God with what's going on. Let me just remind you, sticks and stones do hurt. Especially when somebody's throwing them at you all day long. And that's how they would actually put someone to death. It's called stoning them. But this one person just kept throwing stones and took a lot of strength for some of these guys not to turn around and just go. And that's what's going on in the world today. For whatever causes, people are just, they're pushing people so much to get them to react. That's what they want. They want people to react in a way that is harder so they can point that finger and do what they want to do and retaliate. People are just getting up, and we saw so much of that in the last 5 years. We saw so much of that. But he says, Lord, how my foes increased. There are many who attack me. Many say about me, there is no help for him in God. Basically, he's saying I hear people say, God's not going to help him. Why? What are they thinking? That God, that he's getting punished for the sins that he committed. There's the consequences for our sins. But I want to remind you that when David was the prophet, was in front of David, telling him these things that are going to happen, David says, I sinned before God. Oh, I sinned before God. And the prophet says, God said, your sins are forgiven. But you're still going to reap the consequences. Why would God forgive us of our sins and but yet give us consequences for our sins, but yet forgive us? Because we need to know not to do those again. That there is a cost when we sin. We've come to this place where we just think, as we said, that you can just go through, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. This is what I did. I'm done with it. Thank you. Amen. And go and expect nothing to happen. Listen, if you go out and rob a bank, and you know what? You're going to be looking over your shoulder until you get caught. And then you get caught, you go to court, you're guilty, you go to prison. We think that with Jesus, there's no consequences for anything. We think the Lord, we sin that there's going to be no consequences. There's consequences. There's consequences. And David sees it. But he's trying to find his confidence. His confidence. He knows his confidence is in one place and one place only. It's not with having the greatest warriors, even though he needs them from time to time. But it is, his confidence is in the Lord. But he says, many say about me, there is no help for me. There is no help for him in God. But you, Lord, are my shield around me. Now God knows he's a shield. But David is professing that. The Lord, you're my shield around me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. You're the one that lifts up my head. I cry aloud to the Lord, and he answers me from his holy mountain. Listen, when we start crying out to the Lord, we put the Lord up here, and we bring ourselves here. We have to have some humility and also reverence, and giving God his due there, and lift his name up. I lie down and sleep. I wake again because the Lord sustains me. You ever have a bad day and go, Lord, I don't even want to get up in the morning. I don't even want to get up. What's the purpose of getting up? Things aren't working for me. Nothing's working out. This is a big problem for me. He says, I will not be afraid of thousands of people who have taken their stand against me on every side. That's what David's got. He's got thousands of people that are up against him. But he says, rise up, Lord, in verse 7, save me, my God. He's not turning to his soldiers. He's not turning to, I'm a king. He's turning to God. He says, rise up, Lord, save me, my God. You strike all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. May your blessing be on your people. And that's a true person who has a heart that the Lord wants. That even in the last part, it's not about him, but his salvation belongs to the Lord. May your blessing be on your people. It's not just himself. He knows he's a king. It's over the people, praying even on the people at that moment. Isn't it? Job is a man who was righteous in the Lord's eyes. He's like the most righteous man on the face of the earth. And Satan attacked him and did all kinds of evil things. And all those things. He had some friends that came and said, you did something against God. That's why this is happening. You have sin in your life that you've not confessed. That's why all these bad things are happening to you and all those things. And Job says, no, it's not. I didn't do this and that. And the scripture says that God was upset with Job's friends. But with Job, after some conversations and all that, he restored everything that he had plus more. You see, Job didn't do anything to have caused all the problems that he had. He was just being the man that God wanted him to be. David was a man that was doing what he was supposed to do. But then he did some things he shouldn't have done. And those cause havoc and chaos in his own family. David, being the king at this moment, would most people would say he should have came back and he should have rebelled and he should have went after those guys and he should have been putting those guys in a pretty rough spot, taking back over. But I want to remind you that are parents, how much do you put up with your own children? How much do you put up with your children? David's putting up with it. Bad days are going to come in your life. The Christian ought to know when it's something that is just part of life. The Christian ought to also know when it's something from his own or her own life. We need to remember that when we commit these sins, that there is consequences to these sins. That there's going to be people that could throw stones at you. There's going to be people that could say things about you that it would be distractive to keep you off your focus. I want to remind you that we always need to keep coming back to the Lord no matter what. When you don't think you have a leg to stand on, you have something more. You have the word of the Lord. You have the Lord himself to stand on. Listen, some of your families are all messed up and jacked up. That's just a fact. And you know it. You know it. And you can think even some of that says, man, why is my family all messed up? Why does my family have alcohol problems? Why does my family have these kind of problems? When you look at it, and I've looked, and I'm just telling you, when you look at it, you'll see that there's certain sins that were not dealt with many times. And they just keep on flowing. How do you stop that? How do you work on that? You've ever heard someone say, you're just like your mother. You're just like your father. And sometimes you cringe. Because they see what they see, but you know what you know. And you don't want to be affiliated with that. Listen, not everybody has a great mother. Not everybody has a great father. And most of us have problems in our own families. And nothing stings more than a rock from a family member. Nothing seems harder than when someone in the family wants to rebel against the rest of the family. I would challenge you to spend time with the Lord. And you say, well, I have spent time with the Lord. I say, spend some more time with the Lord. If this has been a problem for 200 years and you don't know your great-great-great-granddaddy, you don't know your great-great, but if you see the flow, you might think that, wow, this thing has just been hereditary. This thing has been in our family bloodline for a long time. When we spend time with the Lord, we're spending time with the one that we need to spend time with. Because have you noticed when you go out and ask for advice about your family, people want to butcher your family? You know the difference is? You love your family even with all the mess that you have. You love your family no matter how messed up, how jacked up it may be. My grandmother used to say this, nobody talks about my family but me. And I've seen her get on to people for doing it. And they were being honest and they were being truthful with our family. But she would say, nobody talks about my family but me. She knew how messed up it was. But you know what? It's why? Because she loved her family. Why was David having such a hard time? Because he loved Absalom. I'm telling you, Scripture shows it. Even when Absalom ends up dying, and it just broke David's heart. And the men were saying, why? We fought this battle. I don't know why. Because his family, he lost his son. So much damage. And they said, if you don't get up and be king, nobody's going to be with you tomorrow. We do need to remember that we have others around us that are supporting us, not to cut them off. Sometimes some of our best help comes from people outside of our family, and they do want the best for you. And you can put boundaries around, but you also need to remember that you need to respect them too as well. Folks, David had a lot of problems. But let me remind you, God is the one that David chose to fight Goliath. God is the one that chose David to be an anoint a king, to be king. God is the one that chose David to build, to draw the temple out, to design it. God chose David to write many psalms so that if you're having a bad day, no matter what, you can pick up one book of the Bible, you can pick up the book of Psalms and see, and it helps you in everyday life. Today you may have a Shimei throwing stones at you and you're getting sick and tired of it. and they may be a relative, or they may just be somebody else, and they're throwing stones, and you're getting tired of it. And you may get to the place where you just want to, you know what? I'm ready to have conflict. Let's go. Let's go. I'm done. Let's go. Let's have this thing out. Sometimes that does need to happen. You need to talk it out. You need to work it out. But other times, you need to step aside, and you need to restrain yourself and focus. And focus and finish out what you're doing. Don't get sidetracked and focus and see where God is leading you. You see, when David said, I have sinned before God, the prophet said, God heard you and he forgives you. But his heart really wasn't broken until he went through all this. When he started feeling the consequences of his sin. And that was some heartfelt pain. And when you start feeling that kind of pain and those temptations are going to do it again, you're going to be like, no, I'm not doing that. Why? Because that cost me. And when something costs you, you're more apt to pay more attention. Oh, Jesus forgave me. Yeah, yeah. But when Jesus forgives me, and he says, but this one's going to have a cost. What? All of a sudden, we kind of perk up. And we're like, well, it's going to have a cost. Because we walk with Jesus so long, we forget really the cost of the cross. And some of that cost, some of the consequences come on us. Doesn't mean that the Lord doesn't forgive us of our sins. It just means that there is a consequence. You've been doing something for a while, and you're not fixing it, you're not working it out with the Lord. I says, okay. I'm going to let you work through it. I'm going to let you dwell in it. You're going to find out that it's going to cost you. Folks, I don't know what your family's like, but I know what my family's like. I got two sides. I got one over here with this side, and this last name, and this last name over here. Let me just tell you, they're both messed up. But I'm in that family. And I've had some stones thrown on us because we became Christians. I've had stones at us because we became preacher and preacher's wife, and we just don't do as much as we used to do. We just don't go to missing family functions, or we just don't. We try to do what we can do. We've had stones thrown at us for that. We've had stones thrown at us for certain things just because we're trying to serve the Lord. Now, could you imagine if I retaliated on every one of them? No. Sometimes you just got to bite it. And you got to keep going. Father, I know that each one of us belong to a family. Whether we're connected with that family or not, I want to thank you, Lord, that your mercy still reigns on us today. For I know the sins that I've committed in my life, and you know, even though you forgave them, sometimes consequences I know that I had to reap what I've sown. And there were consequences in the sins that I committed. And I want to thank you, Lord, for being faithful and forgiving. And I pray for each one that is here today that whatever their family looks like, I pray, Father, Lord, you would just work with them today. For when the stones keep coming, sometimes one lands in a spot, Lord, where it hurts a lot. I pray, Father, for those who are struggling with that today. May your will be done. In Christ's name, amen. Let's stand.